So it's been about a couple of years now that we've had our amazing new bishop hiring, and his immediate call for us to enter into evangelization called Go Make Disciples. Just about the same time that call came, so did the onset of some of the worst evil we've ever experienced in the history of civilization. These last 2 years have been brutal. And in the midst of this, we've been coming together and we've been making plans to evangelize. Add that together with the fact that this now phase two, okay, phase one was akin to the 12 apostles. Now we're in phase two, akin to the 72. And we were given five topics that they would like each parish to concentrate on over this year of ours. One of them was on prayer. Okay? You're still following me. You see, I have been concentrating in that area for all of my priesthood and seminary life. I concentrated my studies on spiritual direction throughout my seminary days, even got a more advanced degree in STB in basically spiritual direction. And I have a passion for that because it goes to the very heart of the matter. It's where we start in other ways, in other words. Okay, see the pieces of the puzzle forming? So here we are, we're heading toward this time. And we set up in our parish these five first Fridays to concentrate on the five topics that Bishop wanted us to do. These five first Fridays were meant to draw out the 72, in essence. Those who really want to go after this thing, those who have a passion, when they receive an invitation, they say, yes, that sounds good, I'm coming. You see, you find people that have a desire to get engaged. And so it has been in these amazing nights. We've been together. But I, with my passion for spiritual direction and prayer, have been spending the last 5 months preparing for this past Friday night. And it's to the point right now where I call it, this is the culmination of my priesthood, what we're doing. Because you see, I saw what the devil did in the last 2 years. The way I frame it is, he just waltzed in, no problem at all. It was easy for him because we were weak. We were weak in our relationship with God. We were weak because for many of us, most of us, we allowed the pressures, the allurements, the even noble things in our lives to take precedent over building a true intimate relationship with God. I think for many of us, we tried our best to kind of fulfill the job description of our faith. You know, we don't want to feel guilty. You know, at least we have that Catholic guilt to keep us in place for the most part. So we go to Mass where we're supposed to. And then we've learned, I think, too, that frequent confession is important. You don't want to let a month go by, so okay. Rosary's good. Well, yeah, we try to do that every day. Might miss a day or so along the way. And maybe a prayer or other too. Do you see the tone of my voice? I'm living on the surface. That's the tone I'm trying to press on us. And we might want to do this, and we might want to do it. It's a surface of work. And then, okay, dots are still connecting. And then we hit this week, where I picked it. I picked this week to launch what, again, I'm calling the culmination of my priesthood. And so Wednesday I picked the Feast of the Presentation. That's the great feast where Joseph and Mary bring Jesus into the temple and Simeon, you can take me now, Lord. But then he turns to me and says, he will be a sign that will be contradicted. A sign of contradiction. And Mary, your heart will be pierced with a sword. Moms can relate to this. If your child gets hurt, you feel their pain. So she did at the foot of the cross. But Jesus, a sign of contradiction, signum qui contradictor, a sign of contradiction, a sign that will be spoken against. You see, the devil waltzed in and he dictated to us the way that we're supposed to go. And you will comply, or you will be censored, or you will be punished, or for some of the holiest priests in our country, you will be put out. How dare you speak against the elite dictators of our time? That's division. And we looked around, and for many of us, accepted it. And what I'm watching too, at an alarming rate, is family after family after family. They're young people. You see, youth believes authority, they trust authority. In many respects, that's a good quality to have. But the authorities of our time, the influences of our time, are saying, no, it's not what your so-called God says, it's what we say, and you will find it, follow it, and so they have. Beautiful families, parents watching their children, being swept up by our times. It's been tough, especially in these last 2 years. And so you can see, I wasn't going to take it, and I know you don't want to too. So what are we going to do? I don't know. Maybe this harkens back to my football days where they score a touchdown to get ahead. I'm not going to sit and take that. What do we got to do to win this game? We'll do it. It's in my bones. I'm not going to sit and take it, nor should you. And so I want to do it the best way possible. Devil waltzed in, no problem at all. Because we were weak, what are we going to do? That's the equation. And so here we are. And yes, I picked this week to launch. On Wednesday, I've been talking with Father Chad Ripperger, the most renowned exorcist in the world, and he absolutely is in sync. We're in sync with each other. I've been following his teachings. What I've done, he's like, this is exactly what's needed right now. And so he's been helping me to shine a light on it. And so we launched by having Father Ripperger on our Grace Force podcast. Some other things too. Followed up by Friday night. And then we approached this Sunday, and I'm getting ready for my homily, and I open up the book, and I look at the readings, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. The gospel is Duke and Altum. Put out into the deep. The new millennial call of John Paul II, his encyclical Novo Millennio Iniunte, the beginning of the new millennium. And he focused on this gospel. But brothers and sisters, we got to go deep. In essence, what he was saying, we're weak because we're on the surface. We got to put out into deep waters. That's the solution. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to heed his call, even if it's 22 years later. We're going to heed his call. This Lent is going to be amazing. I'm trying my best to help you understand that this is not just another program, not just another prayer campaign. This is the culmination of my priesthood. You see, I think we've been picking and choosing, punching the clock, living on the surface. Peter turned to Jesus and said, "Master, we've been hard at it all night and have caught nothing." Let me restate that. "Master, we've been floundering in the darkness and have come up empty." "But if you say so, we'll go deep. Are you with me? We're going to go deep." That's what we're doing this Lent. I want to put it in a way that's not like trying to herd cats. "Wait, what are we supposed to do over here? Wait, no. I'm a bullet points dude. Okay? So that's what I had in my mind at all these months of preparing for right now. And so I said, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to spend 90 days. Now that 90 days starts the day after Ash Wednesday, because I looked at a calendar, I started counting, and I went, oh my goodness, it goes up to one of my favorite feasts ever, the Feast of the Visitation. Remember, that's the feast where Mary went in haste to her cousin Elizabeth, and then Elizabeth sees her and goes, "How is it that the mother of my Lord?" And John the Baptist leaps in her womb, and Mary proclaims her Magnificat, "Behold, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God." And we say, do you see what I'm trying to impress on you? This is awesome. They're on fire. All they want to do is to serve the Lord and please God, build the kingdom of God. They've got that kind of heart-pounding love in their hearts. That's why I love that feast. It's amazing. Why 90 days too? My bachelor degree is in psychology, so I tune in. Psychologists are almost totally in agreement with this. They call it 2190. It takes 21 days to develop a habit. The way I like to put it is, getting toward that 21 days, it's like climbing Mount Everest, because it's outside my comfort zone, and it's hard to wedge it in my routine and my comforts. And so, but after 21 days, okay, I think I got this. That's what that means. What about 90 days? Now, after 90 days, it's like, I got to do this. You're lost without it. It gets in your bones. It's a lifestyle change for us. And so we're going to do the 90 days. I put it in something that's super easy to use. And here it is. For those who are here Friday, you already got yours. I wanted to make this as beautiful as I possibly could. This is leather. That's gold inlay, like you see in a missile. The gold edge pages, even. It's actually, the design is based on what the World War II soldiers carried in their pocket, called their military missile. At least the way things are arranged on it. Do you see? Culmination of my priesthood, right? Seriously. I'm 63. It took me this long to get to here. I don't know how else to say it to you. Because this has been the missing element, and that's what Father Ripperker was impressing on us in his teaching. Please, please, go to usgraceforce.com. Watch our podcast. It's awesome. But he's found, just in the last 7 years, in his ministry of exorcists, that all these people that come to him, thousands and thousands of people that come to him, they find that the vast majority, I think he said 80%, all of their anxiety, all of their depression, all of the ways they feel they're tormented by the devil are healed, and they find peace if they enter into what he refers to as the spiritual protocol. And I've been encouraging people for years, and to come to find out that we're in total agreement of what that is. I'm going a little long here today. I won't go specifically into what that is, but I'll conclude by saying this. I know that a lot of you have some nice Catholic prayer practices in place. Okay, so please don't dismiss this by going, well, yeah, I already got that. Because there are ways, And I'm not, this isn't asking you to pray 22 out of the 24 hours a day, all right? Maybe 15 or 20 minutes. 15 of that, though, is for you to do, and here's the way I'm going to put it. I'll set this down. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? Jesus is in their house. The second person of the Holy Trinity is in their living room. Martha. Oh yeah, we got a guest in the house. I better go over here and I'll prepare a little thumb. The second person of the Holy Trinity is in your house, Martha. Yeah, whatever. I got to do that. And she's doing noble things. Prepared a meal or whatever. See, I think that's what we do too. We do noble things. See, I just don't have time for you, Jesus. What does Mary do? She stops. She gets as close as she can possibly get right at his feet. She stares into his eyes. She hangs on his every word. It's about making that connection. You see, Martha does what we, most of us, do. Yeah, Jesus is right over there in case I need him, you know, but I do my noble stuff over here. But Martha goes, Jesus, tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and upset about many things. Here we are back to what Father Ripperger discovered. Here we are back to what we've suffered in the last 2 years. Here we are back to where most of us are at. We feel like this the storm in our lives. Remember, Peter was sinking in the storm. Why? Because he was laser focused on Jesus, and then he took his eye off Jesus and concentrated on the storm. Jesus says to Martha, you're anxious and upset about Mary, about many things. Mary has chosen the best thing, the better thing, the good thing. She has chosen the one thing necessary, the unum necessarium, and she'll not be denied of it. He calls it the one thing necessary, the unum necessarium, the one thing that, see, that's what we're going to do for 90 days, the unum necessarium. And we're going to get out of the kitchen and get to his feet just for 15 minutes a day. The place where we were always meant to be. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to find the peace that St. Paul talks about. A peace that goes beyond our understanding. A peace of knowing he's in our heart. A peace of knowing that we're locked in love with him. The culmination of my priesthood. I love you all. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.